Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and this is your daily Astros podcast. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse. You can find me on Twitter at H-Town Wheelhouse, on Instagram and Facebook as well. You can find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros. And the show Locked On, wherever you get your podcast. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. We will have a live show. This is a bonus episode. We have special guest with us, Larry the GM. Larry, tell us where they can find you on Twitter.
It's pretty easy. It's at Larry the GM. I'm not a GM, but I tend to think of like one. So,
no, yeah, definitely. And you know, your insights have been logical, have been invaluable. Where I tend to be a homer, and I tend to be the for the fan, by the fans kind of guy. You tend to talk some sense into me, and I listen because you do have some wisdom. And this episode is actually brought to you by Spotify Green Room. We're changing the way you talk about sports. You know, the way you talk about the Astros, why don't you change the way you talk about sports in general? Go to Spotify Green Room, download the app, join today. Eric and I are on every either Friday or Saturday each week. And we'll probably go on Saturday since I'm going to the game Friday night. And you can come on live. You can be a part of the show. Larry's joined us. We have several loyal listeners that hang out with us. Johnny, Steve from overseas. Just we have a great time. So that's who this episode is brought to you by. So let's get into it. And for those of y'all watching, we're going to show you, we're going to be talking about a heat map and a spreadsheet that Larry actually put together. It's a pretty genius thing. And so I'm going to be sharing that with y'all so y'all can get the visual of it. If you're listening via audio, if you're listening on Apple, Google, Spotify, or Odyssey, wherever you get your podcast, please go to the YouTube channel. Please subscribe so you can see what it is we're talking about. And follow Larry on Twitter, and you can see he posted the heat map on Twitter. So maybe if you're watching it and you're on Twitter, you can pull up your phone and look at it. And go from there. So, Larry, without further ado, let's get started. Let's kind of start talking about the 40 man, and then we'll bring up the graphics and stuff.
Okay, so today is the trade special day, right? And so one of the steps we're going to go through is understanding what the strengths and weaknesses of the Astros are relative to the rest of the league. That's what the heat map will do for you guys. And so what we're going to look at is we're going to look at the heat map, and we're going to see, okay, where are the Astros, what positions are weak, what are their strengths. That will determine, and I know everybody already has in mind what we need to get, but we're going to show you why that is, why it is that the Astros need relief pitching, why it is the Astros may need some other things. And then we're going to look at, so one of the things I hear quite often on the show, Brett, and on Twitter, is like, the Astros need to do this, the Astros need to do this, the Astros need to do this. And understanding where the Astros really are, how tight the 40-man is, and the moves that they already have to make to bring back the Pedro Baezes and the other folks that are injured, those folks are the folks that have been on the 60-day IL are not on the roster right now. They're not on the 40-man, and we have 40 players on the 40-man. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to get those back without necessarily exposing the players to DFA, or which players should we expose to DFA to be able to make the best roster for the end of the season and in the future? So that's where we're going in this part of the show. Later on this evening, you know, come back at 6:30-ish time frame, and Brett and I will be going through. It'll be trade bonanza. So we're gonna talk about like what it is that the Astros need and what it is they can. And then later on, we'll talk about okay, who should they get and what can they trade. All right. So let's look at the way I like to visually do this is in a heat map form. That way, it's really easy to look at. I mean, if you look at the version on Twitter, or Brett will show it in a little bit. You can look in one picture and see, hey, this is where the Astros are good, and this is where they're maybe not so good. So the map works where deep red is the best in the league, and the dark blue is the worst in the league. So if you're average, you're white. So red, white, and blue. Red is good, blue is bad, And so what does that say? So if you look at, the projected WAR for the rest of the season, and that's why I tend to look at this in the beginning of the season, like what is it, what are the projected WAR for each position group going to be, and what are the weaknesses? And so I look at the projected WAR for the rest of the season, and it says that the Astros are blue at catcher, a little bit blue at first base. We can talk about that in a minute, and blue, a little bit blue at relief pitcher, and basically straight up white, a little tingy of blue at center field. So what does that mean? That basically means the weakest group, position group, from a projected WAR standpoint, from now to the end of the season, is actually catcher. The predicted WAR for the catchers for the Astros is 23. They're the 23rd best catching group. You say, well, why is that?
See, when you mentioned to me, and we'll talk about specific trade scenarios on the live show, but when you mentioned the catchers that are out there that are desirable, I was like, wait, hold on. We have Martin Maldonado and we have Jason Castro, and I'm thinking these are who the pitchers want and stuff. But you're basically analyzing it from a standpoint of, if you want to go in with the absolute best roster in the playoffs, here is where you have the need for the most improvement. Right. And folks, when I do show you this map here on the screen here in a second, it is, I mean, it's genius. Like, I'm sitting there going, I don't know how you put this together. It is excellent. The season to date rank, like you said, the projected WAR. And these are things that a lot of people don't talk about. You know, as a fan, if you're sitting around drinking a beer, you're just talking about, hey, you know, is there any way we can get Ohtani? You know, there's all these wild hair scenarios, but realistically, as a GM, and I think I've decided I don't want to be a GM because it seems like a very difficult task. And that's why you call yourself Larry the GM, because you tend to take these more analytical approaches because of your engineering background, and you're able to look at things logically outside of your fandom, where most guys like me are like, no, I want that. I don't want to, you know. Here's the big problem, and here's what we want to try to debunk, is right. A lot of Astros fans, and maybe I've been guilty myself, we want a King's ransom, but we want to give away the jester. We don't want to give away another king for a king.
So what are the weakest projections forward? So I said catcher was 23rd. I'm not saying they're going to get a catcher.
Right.
You said it right, Brett. I'm saying that if they want to address the worst problem they have, they would do something at catcher. The culture, the clubhouse culture and all that with Maldonado makes sense. You know, in an ideal world, I'd like to have Maldonado retire and be instantly another like bullpen catcher there, ready to help the pitchers the rest of the season. But Maldonado is brings value beyond his bat, beyond his glove, that this isn't going to address.
Right. And that's another thing too. So just because you hear us say, oh, well, you know, Contreras or, you know, Stallings or whatever, it doesn't mean we're saying like, hey, we instantly want to go in all in on a catcher, but you're just like, logically, this is where the greatest need is. So do you want me to go ahead and share the heat map now?
Yeah. So go ahead and show the heat map. And then the second biggest gap or second biggest is pretty obvious to every Astro fan. It's going to be right there on L34, if you want to try to point to it, Brett.
Yes, that's
the relief pitching, all right? Well, everybody knows the relief pitching, okay? Then this system, and this is not – these are not my projections. These are Fangraphs WAR projections for the rest of the year. It says position group first base, and that's because the Fangraphs projections, all the projection systems do not – believe no one understands the fountain of youth that is Yuri Gurriel in 2020.
Right.
They're just not going to project him to be great the rest of the season. And then the other one would be center field. Okay, but if you guys can look down three lines below that, let's talk about the WAR season to date rank. And there you get a little bit of validation related to the catcher and bullpen. We have the 22nd ranked catching core so far this year. That's just because Maldonado has just been, quite frankly, terrible batting, and there's no way around it. But the relief pitching core has been 19th, just like the rest of the year projection. But Yuri Gurriel has been the sixth best first baseman. So they're not getting replaced. They're not doing anything in first base, right? It's just a system where it is. The other interesting thing is, we've seen a lot of things out there about Marte, and you know the Astros should get a center fielder. Well, the Astros so far this year have had the seventh best center field performance or production at center field. They're not going to do. I mean, I was calling for that in April. Just full disclosure. But they're not gonna change it now. And so, and also the last line in the spreadsheet is just looking at, they may not want to look at WAR. You may want to consider something like a WRC plus. So I give you the same ratings from a WRC plus standpoint,
okay,
from an ERA standpoint for the pitcher. So what does all that mean? Well, all of it means is that the Astros have the number one offense, projected number one offense so far this year. Number one offense projected for the rest of the season. They have the 10th best or 13th best projected pitching. So we got to do something related to the pitching.
Yeah, because we're going to be facing the top other four or five teams in the league. So you don't want to be 13th going into a group that is, you know, relatively higher, because I'm going to scroll up a little bit and let's just pick out of the mix the, you know, White Sox are right there, relief pitching at 9.3. Is that the pitching one, right?
The pitching is 8.3. So, they're second best overall pitching. The Mets are the first best overall pitching. The Yankees at 8.2. The Dodgers at 7.4. These are the teams they're going to face. All their pitching staffs are significantly better from a WAR, projected WAR standpoint for the rest of the season than the Astros are.
So
look at the heat map.
Right. So what you're saying is they need pitching.
And if you also look at the projected starting pitching, it's only 12, right? It's not that great. So I would sign off on getting another starting pitcher as well. So starting pitcher, relief pitcher, and then, you know, I'm going to propose a trade for later on tonight that's for a catcher. I know that they won't do it. But, I mean, I'm just telling you, if you want to fix everything, become the absolute juggernaut of all baseball teams, that's what you would do. So
definitely.
So the needs for the Astros, and you can say, Larry, I didn't need your heat map to tell me they needed pitching. But I'm just giving you the system that shows you from an objective standpoint, number one, how badly they need pitching. Remember on this heat map, red is good, blue is bad. So
exactly,
the Astros do have some holes that they're showing up as blue.
And there's not any of these playoff teams that, well, outside of the white, no, that's the Angels. I guess there are no other playoff teams. See, the Oakland A's, are they blue? Yeah, the Oakland A's, but I mean, I assume they're going to be busy, right before the trade deadline. I would be shocked if they didn't.
But look at the Yankees. The Yankees have an outfield problem, right? And the Mets have a catching problem. The Mets are pretty mediocre. The Dodgers do really well in this system, and just because we've known that they had a ton of depth, right?
They're like red across. So if you're listening, the heat map is like all red and pink, because they only have one that's like mediocre, which is DH, obviously, that being probably because they're National League and not the American League. Right. But it's pretty interesting to look at the Astros compared to the other playoff teams and, you know, where they are, where they rank amongst the league. It actually helps me to see, okay, yeah, these are some glaring needs. When I pull this down, catcher is blue, first base is blue, relief pitcher is blue, starting pitcher is in white, and so center field is in white. And so, yeah, I mean, you definitely have some areas that leave things more to be desired. Do you want me to keep the heat map up for right now?
Let me give the good news about this before.
Okay.
So what the system says is, even with all the holes that we have, that the Astros are still the third highest ranked projected WAR remaining for the rest of the year. So it's important to understand. It's not like they're going to just miss the playoffs if they don't address these things. In fact, the Yankees have a better WAR projected by the system. I don't necessarily believe that, but but at the end of the day, don't be surprised if the Yankees crawl their way back into postseason contention if you believe this system. But quite honestly, I think the Yankees are almost the Yankees may be at a point of selling.
It just seems almost inevitable. But you know, here's the deal. There are several things that you could look at right now. The betting lines, the Houston Astros, their line continues to drop. I know someone earlier in the season said they put a bet down when the Astros were like +1200 or something. And so if you're not really an avid sports bettor, but you've always kind of wanted to try and see what it's like, go to BetOnline. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports action. Baseball season, we know, is in full swing. That's what we're talking about. The trade deadline is here. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA, and more. And heck, even if you want to vote on who gets the next rose on the Bachelorette or the Bachelor, they even have props for that. They have everything. So before the next pitch of the Astros versus Rangers this weekend, go to your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the run for the playoffs. The National League is heating up. I mean, who's going to come out of the West? Put props on that. Who's going to end with the most home runs this season? Is it going to be Ohtani? Will he get to 50? Will he get to 60? So head to their website or mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Or an Astros themed one, how many home runs will Jose Altuve hit at the end of the year? BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. Use a promo code Locked On. Let's get back to it, Larry.
All right, so let's transition to talk about the 40-man roster. So
okay,
the Astros currently have 40 men on the 40-man roster, right? So they're and I just told you that they've got players like Baez and Baez and Rayleigh, who's on the COVID. When you're on the COVID injured list, that means they take you off the 40-man to do that. So we've got three players that we expect are going to come back to the 40-man. That's James, Rayleigh, and Baez. I think Rayleigh's coming back. I would expect Rayleigh to come back any day now. So
okay.
And I was also thinking that James was going to come back before the trade deadline, and that actually was going to be a little problematic. I think he had kind of in Fayetteville, got hit with the ball, and
yeah, he got hit with the line drive. Yeah,
and he was flying to Houston to get that checked out. So,
but they said his setback. But see, they said his setback had nothing to do with the line drive issue. So I don't know what the setback is.
Okay. Yeah. So on this spreadsheet, I've got Larry DeGM's projected estimated return, because that's the only way I could do what I proposed to do on this spreadsheet. So the point of this is like, okay, these players are going to come back at stages along the way. We know we're going to get Bregman and Diaz back. They're on the 40 man, but you're going to have to manage the 26 man when they come back. So if a player, what do I mean by that? So if a player that comes back and you decide you want to, in this case, send, let's say Pruitt, we decide, hey, you know, we're bringing in James. We don't need Pruitt anymore. Pruitt doesn't have options. That means you can't just option him to the minor leagues. You're going to have to DFA him and have him pass through waivers, and then you can outright him to the minor leagues. Then he won't be on the 40 man anymore.
But so, that now isn't that, for those listening, isn't that at the risk of losing him if another team picked him up? So
right. So you got to be really, really careful if you DFA somebody, and I, full disclosure, I'm going to DFA somebody in the first step of this spreadsheet. But the realities are, you know, if you DFA some, actually, I'm going to option him. No, I'm going to DFA him off the 40 man. So when you take somebody off the 40 man, you have to DFA them. You can't just option them.
Okay.
And if you know, you can option somebody that has options, but Colin G shows you all the players that don't have options. So That's the system of this spreadsheet.
I see that zero. Okay, so
all the zeros don't have zero
means.
Can't
okay,
just option them.
So I'm just gonna kind of go over this. You know, the obvious ones: Maldonado, Castro, Altuve, Correa, Diaz, Brantley, Greinke, McCullers, Odorizzi, Verlander, obviously, Pruitt, Presley, Baez, Rayleigh, and Smith. A couple of those are
problematic because, quite honestly, there's a few of those relief pitchers that if we actually trade for all the relief pitching we want to trade for,
you're not going to have room for them.
We're not going to have room for them, right? So this is why the Astros are maybe they're not jumping to do all these deals yet, because they have to manage the timing of the deal versus the timing of the DFAs that they're going to have to do.
Yeah, definitely. No. And that's, I mean, and it's funny, like I'm sitting here thinking about this. It's like, why are you making me think like this, Larry? Because this isn't the fun banter that you have at the bar. Like, hey, who are we going to get? Because all you think about, and that's where I would like to bridge the gap, because there are a lot of baseball people that understand baseball like you do. I would like to think that where I'm not at the level of understanding you are, I can get there pretty quickly, right? A lot of people probably sit around my level where they know the players, they can tell you the stats, they can tell you historical events, but really going in and thinking about the nuts and the bolts of how it works, how it fits together, makes it extremely complicated. It's not as easy as getting Francisco Rodriguez and Chafin and Max Scherzer. It's okay, who are you gonna give up? And then if you give up somebody when they come in, you probably still have spots. You're going to have to, who you're going to DFA. And then if you DFA somebody, so on and so forth. And so it is definitely one of those processes when you sit down and think about it, it is incredibly multifaceted, multi-layered.
You have to understand the consequences of the move you're going to make and what it will lead to.
No, so, and that's excellent.
Do you want to run? So I'm going to show you Larry the GM plan for the next couple of months relative to the roster, and the people that are going to tune in later, you're going to see the Larry the GM trades are embedded in this 40-man spreadsheet.
I'm going to go back to the spreadsheet for those watching. Okay. Yes. And again, those of y'all listening, if you want to see what it is we're looking at, go to YouTube, subscribe to our channel, and you can watch us go through this, because I'm trying to scroll enough to where you can see and follow him. But if you listen right now, it's pretty much like a play-by-play. So go ahead, Larry, take it over.
Yeah, so we're going to starting in column I and J. I show everybody who is on the 40-man and who's on the 26-man active roster right now. The first player I expect to come back is Rayleigh. And like I said, I expect Rayleigh to come back any day now. So what happens when Rayleigh comes back? Well, I think because we have Pruitt, we're most likely to option Belak. Okay, that I just think like, because Pruitt does have the ability to go some innings, length innings, and so does Javier. So Belak's a little bit redundant to those other two long relievers. So I think we're going to option him. But I said option Belak. I didn't say DFA Belak, because I don't think they're going to do that. Now, if you remember, like a week or two ago, Brett, that they brought up Hartman, and then like for just a day, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, from Sugarland. You know, we've actually seen him pitch twice this year, at Consolation Field. And he came up that once, and so you think he would be the prime candidate to DFA because of what we have around him?
Right. Well, yeah. So, I mean, Hartman's, he's a young guy. He's going to do great. It's maybe at some point, but I thought it was kind of odd that, you know, you looked at all the options they could have had to call somebody up, and they chose Hartman. Well, I think that's because they understood that at some point that roster slot might be a roster slot that they needed. So therefore they felt like they could DFA Hartman and he would pass the waivers, and then they could just be sent back to the Triple A team, rated to the Triple A team. So that's when you see a move like, why do they call up Hartman? This is where when you understand the 40-man roster management and understand, well, they think he might be able to be DFA'd. That's why they did it. And so I think, and actually talked to some folks about that, not anybody in the team, but like, hey, that's probably the most likely person to be DFA from the 40 man. Okay. So the next move is what happens when Diaz comes back. Okay. So Brett, how many times have you heard people complain about Garcia and like, we need to send Garcia back to AAA and let him work on.
Right. Rebuild. Yeah, exactly.
So that's, I think, and I've kept saying, like, wait till Diaz comes back, then you're gonna have, so in column N, when we add Diaz, I think we're gonna option Garcia.
Okay.
And so now, understand that Diaz is already on the 40 man, so that's all you have to do, option Garcia, and add Diaz. All right. So
but, you know, honestly, that for me isn't a move that I'm upset they're having to option. That's not a guy that we're optioning.
Well, and then we'll lose him. He's got options. So
right,
they'll be able to. I think he's got. I'd have to go look. I believe he's got one option left.
One option. Okay.
All right. So then we're sitting there with a full 40 man, a full 26 man, and later on tonight you'll understand that I trade a bunch of guys. Those are the orange lines on this spreadsheet. Let's not talk about the players yet. We'll save that for
right.
Later.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're able to see the visual, you'll see the types of players I'm including in trades and types of players I'm adding in trades. And you'll understand that I actually trade like six guys off the 40-man roster in order to add three players in two relievers and one starting pitcher.
Because you can add guys that are in the minor leagues of prospects, but if they're not on the 40 man, you're just stacking the deck and there's not enough room in the end, you know, pun intended, for you know, you can't just say, oh, we have a 42nd guy over here. So that's why these guys you picked in particular from the 40 man roster, because that's where I think a lot of people are going, well, if this guy's like, people may not know what the 40 man roster entails and who's on that 40 man roster. Right. And so everybody's just like, oh, well, don't let go of him. Don't let go of him. Well, if you don't let go of 40 man roster guys, you don't have any room to put anybody. So
so the Astros are kind of a weird situation because their minor league system is not highly valued, right? It's not
right.
Being really strong, but there's some guys that are on the cusp or have just recently lost their prospect label, right? That are viable players.
I'll give
you one. And one is Toro, right? So Toro has value to some of those teams that are blue on the heat map for third base or even second base. He could play a position. So if we traded Toro to one of those teams down at the bottom of this spreadsheet in blue, those are teams that are going to like, hey, maybe. And
oh, yeah. And so for those of y'all listening, the ones that are in blue are teams that we've actually talked about trading with, possibly Orioles, Pirates, Rockies, Rangers, Tigers. Those are all teams that I know that I've mentioned on the show as possible places to look for trades.
Right. So trade value is difficult, right? And Brett and I both, and we'll talk about this more tonight. But we both love a website that gives us baseballtradevalues.com.
Yeah, right?
And that site gives you at least I'm not in the details of their system, but at least it's an objective system to giving a trade value from somebody else that's not an Astros fan, right? That they're looking at the whole league and saying, what are the relative values of these players, right? And we're going to use those numbers from that system when we build trades tonight. And at least you can go back in the historical trades and you'll notice that, hey, their trade values really calibrate to what really happened in those deals. All right. So that's where column ONP, I'm taking out a bunch of players from the 40 man. We actually, if we do what I believe the Astros are going to trade, I already mentioned him, Toro, as you know, as a potential trade chip that'll clear spots from the 40 man. Then when Bregman and Baez come back, Bregman can just be added, and you can option probably Stubbs off, right? Because then you would just go back to two catchers for a while,
right?
Then to bring Baez in, I said you have to add a 40 man slot. So what does that look like? I think it's possible that, you know, so I think at that point it becomes very important who's done what, who's performed. You know, I'm projecting something that's going to happen, maybe, you know, early August, right? So whose performance is most at risk at that point? Pruitt's been.
Yeah, you know, so speaking on Pruitt, I know Dusty kind of put him in an unfavorable situation, but with all this talk that we're going through and just all this mind-boggling information, I know sometimes I get tired, and as I age, I'm always looking for a healthy alternative. You know, who doesn't want to grab a candy bar at the grocery store? But you know what? Grab a Built Bar. And Larry the GM actually told me that his wife just ordered their first box of Built Bars. And I would like to think that they heard about it on our show.
Yeah, they heard it from you, Brett. You are the reason we bought Built Bars.
Well, you know, what's great about Built Bar is they taste great. They're wrapped in 100% chocolate, and they're not horrible for you. They're great for the healthy conscious guy or girl. If you're trying to lose or maintain weight, or you just want that snack that gets you over to the next meal with protein and the right amount of stuff, go to built.com. They've got these flavors, coconut almond, cherry almond. What flavor did your wife order?
Brett, I don't know that, but
that's okay.
She's a smart woman, and I'm sure she's got something I'm going to love.
Definitely. So, you know, there's salted caramel. I love the cookies and cream. I'm telling you, when they come back out with the chocolate cookie dough chunk, what you have to do is you have to keep your eyes peeled, because they're always coming out with special flavors and limited edition type flavors. But most of them have 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of net carbs. Order today, like raspberry, order mint brownie, order their grasshopper cookie that just came out. If you go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your first order. And what's cool is he probably used that promo code.
She heard you say the promo code, and she used the promo code, Brett. It's all on you.
There you go. And when y'all get that first box, you're going to get another coupon. Why? Because you're now a customer of Built Bar. They also have these things called Built Points that I don't talk a lot about. You can earn points towards other purchases. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order at builtbar.com. So let's go ahead and do this, Larry. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Let's put a bow tie on this so that we can leave the folks with some final thoughts that they need to take away, especially if they're going to watch the live show.
Okay. So we carried you through at least about, through the first half of August. They'll bring your key and James back. Then there's going to be some potentially hard decisions. Again, it'll probably be based on relative performance. I actually believe they may option. Remember, I'm saying option, so don't freak out. Option Garcia or Javier at that point to give them, remember, innings management. I think they may give them a break in that mid to late August time frame to rest their arms a little bit for the September run. And they'll be adding them when the September call-ups come up. So that's what I believe. So the key things to this spreadsheet is you can use this spreadsheet. I'll post a picture of it on Twitter if you want it. Then you can reach out to me. Add me at Larry the GM on Twitter. I'll send you an email with the spreadsheet, and you can understand the moves that they're making. So one of the things embedded in the logic of this spreadsheet, and we're going to talk about it tonight, the Astros need to trade slots from the 40 man to bring in the quality that they want. And that's one of the conclusions you're going to see from this spreadsheet.
Definitely. I mean, that is a great breakdown. That is a really, really good job. I actually understand it. When you initially emailed this to me, I was like, I felt like SpongeBob in the episode where he touches the ball of confusion and he just like, duh. But when you really think about it, when you really look at it, it makes a lot of sense. And hey, maybe fans will be less stressed out if they look at things like this, because I know the trade deadline, you know, can be stressful. And again, you know, once again, if you're into the betting, if you're the sports betting type person, if you're betting on the Houston Astros or MLB, it doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse for Locked On Astros. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And Larry the GM, one more time, tell the fans where you can be found.
At Larry the GM. I'm not a GM, but I like to think like one.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on the live episode. Thank you, Larry. You have a good one, and go Astros.
Go Astros.